The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. It's First Time Caller Day on Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
It is First Time Callers, so start lining up, folks.
I'm Tim Wildman, and in studio with me is a lot of IQ people. 20-20-20 right there. We got 20-20-20 in this room.
Are you saying our IQ is 20?
I wonder if you meant vision.
If you didn't know you were insulted, then,
then your IQ is 20.
I can't believe I ever said all that, but I guess I did.
We've got it on tape.
Tape never lies. Good morning, everybody. Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Welcome to the program. Tim Wildman here with J.J. Jasper. Good morning, Brother J.J.
Great to be here.
And sitting in for Ed Vitagliano, who's on the injured reserve list today, is Kendra White. Good morning, Kendra.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be
here. Good to have you back with us. So I got two Kentuckians here.
That's right.
And you got a rose between the thorns.
That's very kind of you to say about me, J.J., but I don't need that kind of adulation.
Well,
I really
there's
don't.
Two roses in the room. I got to give a shout-out to J.J.'s gorgeous daughter sitting in the studio.
Yeah, Casey James Jasper, sophomore in high school here in a couple of days, and I brought her for show and tell. She's just going to sit over in the corner and not say anything.
I got to ask her one question. I got to ask her, just talk one time, okay?
Casey
James Jasper, is she making her debut on national radio right here?
No, she's been on the radio since she was five or six.
Okay. I want to ask you this. What's your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject, that's got to be math.
Math.
Okay.
All right. Mathematician.
Good.
All right.
She's got an engineering brain. I've showed you some of the things she invented when she was a little bitty.
Wow.
Architect, engineer. She got a real tilt in that direction. So God has big plans for her.
I did too, but the Lord moved me in a different direction later on. After, but I had those kind of skills.
Casey James was in the oven when I moved to here and started AFA. She was not even on the scene, so she's just this beautiful,
15.
Young lady.
Wow.
He was only 15.
Basketball player, 15. Volleyball gorgeous. Player, and maybe engineer. Lord knows.
All right. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Today is first-time callers only, right? So if you've never gotten on the air with us, this is your day. First-time callers only today on the program. And here's the phone number to line up to be on the air with us to ask and answer a trivia question. We're going to ask ours in just a moment, and you'll call in, answer one of ours, and then then ask us a trivia question. Here's the phone number, 888-589-8840. 888, can't remember that, then just, I don't know, we can't help you really. 888-589-8840. So Tim, Kendra, JJ here on the program, and what's the other ground rule, JJ?
Well, you have to be 12 years old or older, and then a mystery question. One of these original nine questions is going to be the mystery question. You don't know which one it is, hence the mystery. But if you land on it and answer it correctly, you'll hear this sound. Ah, the beloved
cowbell will ring, and all the world will know.
You're going to win a nice AFR ball cap. This really is a good-looking cap. So, yeah, you're waking up on this Friday morning and not thinking about winning anything, and you could win a nice AFR ball cap today.
And I'm holding it up for those watching on YouTube, Facebook, or AFA streaming, holding that AFR ball cap up. So we'll send that out to you. And we're working on a brand-new Learning University T-shirt.
Okay. Right.
Yes, that's in development right now. Elon Musk cut off our grant, and so we're having to reapply, but we should get the money for that pretty soon, right?
Right, right.
Is that everything? We ready to go here?
I think so. I think we're ready to roll.
All right. What do you got, Kendra?
Okay. Three questions for you today. Number one. So today, a lot of kids in our area, this is their first day of school. They're heading back. But how did the tradition of giving teachers an apple originate?
Oh.
How did that tradition originate? Question number two. Coming from classic children's literature.
Literature. Like the Brits.
What imaginary creature often appears in Winnie the Pooh's dreams threatening to steal his honey?
Oh.
What imaginary creatures?
I guess we all go through those kinds of things, don't we?
That's high stakes.
Yeah. You know, even Winnie the Pooh has nightmares.
Right. I worried about one of those being under my bed.
Stealing your honey?
Yes.
My daughter, I told her I was going to be on Trivia Friday today and had to explain what that was. And she helped me come up with this question. And
wow.
She is now hunting this creature with our laundry basket at home with my husband.
There
so
you go.
She is trying to trap them.
You can capture
right now.
It in a laundry basket. You got one more?
One more question. The Apostle Paul is generally considered to be the one who wrote the most books of the Bible, roughly around 13. But coming in second place, there is a tie. Mm-hmm. Which Old Testament and which New Testament author both wrote 5 books of the Bible? And for extra credit, which books are they?
Wow, those are good questions. Here's what I've got. First question from the Bible. This is probably an easy one, but it's Friday. What was the Apostle Paul's occupation?
Mm.
He was bivocational. What was the Apostle Paul's occupation? Second question, this is going to be in Tim Wildman's wheelhouse.
My wheelhouse.
Ryne Sandberg, Hall of Fame second baseman who became one of baseball's best all-around players. I mean, he was a player, a coach, a manager. Just to tell you how amazing he was, in a game in 1984, it was such a remarkable game. It's still referred to by Cubs fans as the Sandberg game. And 40 years after the game, they put his statue outside of Wrigley Field.
Wow.
Yeah, and he passed away, sadly, on Monday. But here's my question. Ryne Sandberg, what was his nickname? That's my question. What was Ryne Sandberg's nickname? Third question, true or false, red-bellied piranha fish bark like a dog. Is that true or false? Red-bellied piranha fish bark like a dog. Now, Tim, you told me you went to the red-bellied piranha concert once when you were in college, took your Bic lighter and held it up in the air.
Yes, and my ears will never be the same. That was,
pretty loud.
That night, yeah.
Red-bellied piranhas?
Also, that's what we would call each other, you know. when we were about 9 years old and you wanted to hurl an insult at your friend, you call me, come here, you red-bellied piranha.
Yeah.
Say that to my face.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Well, and in the hills of Kentucky where Kendra and I are from, we'd say, when things got really heated, you and the red-bellied piranha you rode in on.
On.
That's right. Yeah, that was.
So what? I've forgotten your question. What's your question?
Red-bellied piranha fish bark like a dog. Underwater, they bark
like a dog. Do you have
like
to rub their bellies for them to bark?
It doesn't say anything about their, hind fin, you know, scratching behind their ear or anything. But, hey, it may be true, may not. It's, you know, it's true or false.
Oh, man.
50 shot.
You come up with a crazy.
You put some images in our mind.
Yeah, JJ comes up with the craziest true-false questions you've ever heard.
So much so, you think that it may be wacky.
It may be true.
To be true, but surely it's not. You guys know about piranhas, right? They got razor teeth. They have teeth that are like daggers, like 2 inches tall.
Yeah.
And they're meat eaters. Something that falls into the river, it's these piranhas.
Yeah, I've seen it on movies. You get into these unknowing people go swimming.
Right.
We've all seen these movies, right, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then all of a sudden the water begins to shake, and you know it's going to be trouble, right?
Swarm.
Right.
And do I need to describe what happens after that?
No,
I don't think I do.
No.
We have children listening.
That's right.
All right, so here are my questions. I like to have an American geography question every once in a while. And this is
make us more smarter.
This is a stretch. But, and some people listening in a particular state will know the answer to this immediately. And I asked a person who is from this particular state related to this question if I was pronouncing the name of these people correctly, and he said yes. So, here's my question. In what state will you find people known as youpers?
Youpers?
Yeah, like jeepers?
Yeah.
Hey, jeepers, Wally. You know, like
right,
that?
Right.
Okay, you know, we got Cajun people down in South Louisiana, right?
Right.
There are different parts of the country where you have different...
We got hillbillies where we're from.
Hillbillies, yeah.
Okay. You can either call them a youper or a red-bellied piranha, depending on how
you're happy or sad about being around them.
I would go with youpers. That's less offensive.
Youpers.
Anyway, in what state, and I'm talking about in the mainland, will you find people known as youpers?
Interesting.
All right, my second question, what word has been used since the 80s, maybe before, to describe an old, decrepit automobile?
Okay.
There's a word that this is used all over the country, this word. What do we call used up, decrepit, broken down automobile? We call it that. We use this word. Three syllables.
Okay.
Does that help?
It does.
Three syllables.
That helped me eliminate one of them.
And finally, what is the quickest way to ripen fruit at your house? At your home, you would say, I want to ripen this fruit quickly. What can you do? Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, let's go. Who's going to, Kendra, you going to do the honors today?
I'll announce our callers today.
All right, let's go.
All right, so calling in from Arkansas, we have Kellen. Kellen, am I saying your name right?
Yes.
Hey,
yes,
welcome to Trivia Friday.
Yes, thank you.
What part of Arkansas are you calling from?
Hot Springs.
Okay.
We're planning
a family trip there in a couple months here. So.
Good area.
I had somebody from
Hot Springs reach out to me about coming and doing a night of comedy.
Mm.
So we're in the middle of
planning the logistics.
And seeing if that happens. So, hey, Kellen, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'm going to do both.
Which one you feel confident about?
I want to answer JJ's question about what was Paul's occupation.
Here we go. What was the Apostle Paul's occupation?
He was a tent maker.
Tent maker. Way to start us out, buddy. Right out of the chute.
A tent maker. Where was he a tent maker? Do you know? Kellen? What town?
I don't know. In Rome?
That's a deep dive.
It is.
Well, I thought it was Corinth, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah,
about that.
I know a lot of people, you talk about a deep dive, his middle name was Coleman, and that's why to this day a lot of tent equipment is
Paul Coleman?
Paul Coleman, yeah, and that part stuck.
Don't believe it, folks.
Don't believe it.
I
don't know why
Bible.
I got Corinth in making tents, but anyway.
Well, those Apostle Paul lanterns, I mean Coleman lanterns and those tents, all that, they're still famous to this day.
All right. So fire away with your question.
Yeah, my question was a joke. If a red house has red bricks and a blue house has blue bricks, what color bricks does a greenhouse have?
No
bricks. Greenhouse has glass.
They have glass.
Yeah.
But you're getting us, you're
going to have to get up really early. Get one past these two Kentuckians over here.
Yeah.
There, Kellen. But, anyway, thanks for calling, my friend,
sir.
From
Thank
Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Listening.
Very famous place there. So you're going on a little trip over there?
Yes, we have family that lives in Texas, so that's kind of our in-between spot. So it'll be our first time.
That's a beautiful lake
vacationing
there.
Vacationing in that area.
That area.
So.
When I first moved to Tupelo, Mississippi in the 80s, every other person that was going on an anniversary trip, honeymoon, where are you going? Well, Hot Springs.
Mm.
The next person, where are you guys going on vacation? Hot Springs. I don't hear it as much, but they're talking about the actual springs and all the different things around there.
Do they let you get in now? Can you get in the hot springs?
Yeah, I think they have buildings built around them.
Neat.
And there's the hot springs, kind of like saunas and that sort of thing.
But I like it.
It was a real tourist
destination. I'll save up all my aches and pains for our trip.
There you go.
For a lot of Americans right now, though, the word hot springs doesn't appeal.
That's true.
No, you're in the south.
The puddle in your backyard qualifies.
So it's a heat index 108 today.
Oh, it's rough.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Who wants to go to hot springs with me?
That's right. Oh man.
But anyway, it's a great
brutal
place to visit.
Hot summer, and this week broke a lot of records with the heat. I mean, a cool spell next week. It's going to be in the 80s in the mid south. Yes.
All right. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, also known as Learning University. Let's go, Kendra.
Let's
who's
go
next?
To Linda. Bring another lady on the show. Linda is calling from Tennessee. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm so excited to get on.
Have you been a longtime listener?
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. How long have you been listening to AFR?
Oh, wow. Years, yeah. And AFA, and I follow all of the programs.
Well, thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank
what part
you.
Of the volunteer state, where do you live, Linda?
Dyersburg.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Good area.
Mississippi River, yeah.
Yep, that's about you're about an hour from Jackson, right?
45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, over by the river. All right,
and
ask it.
You have a antenna in Ripley.
Yes, uh-huh. That's right.
Yes.
Anyway, we have a lot of great listeners in West Tennessee. Go ahead. You want to ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
The piranha one.
Okay.
Okay, JJ.
Oh, here we go. True or false? Red-bellied piranha fish bark like a dog. Is that true or false?
Well, the first thing I want to ask, is discovered either way. Did they go down into?
Hey, Linda, you know what, Linda? You and I think alike. I have questions like that too.
The first five people that put their ear to the water, they didn't live to tell about it. But number six, he was up just a little bit off the water, and
he used an ear horn.
That's right. He used a stethoscope, kind of gingerly dangled it down into the water. Linda, you think like a lot of people listening, and then some people would say maybe you're overthinking this thing. So, true or false?
Well, I'll say true since it's so off the wall.
It is 100% true.
What?
Wow.
Red-belly piranhas are the most ferocious freshwater fish. They're known for their razor-sharp teeth and ability to bark like a dog. And I looked at the backstory and listened to them barking, and it said piranhas can bark by forcing air out of their swim bladders, and they do that to chase people off away from their food, and they think they communicate, but it said pound by pound, their bite is harder or stronger than a great white shark, pound for pound.
But which is worse, their bark or their bite?
I like the way you think.
You don't want to find out, though, if that's true or not.
Wow.
Linda, I'm like you trying to overthink this. I thought just when you thought you had problems with your neighbor, their wild parties, you got your music turned up too loud, and you're going to say, would you do something about y'all's red belly piranhas? That barking? We're not getting a minute's peace over here.
That is wild.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got it. Linda, did you just guess, Linda?
Yeah, she guessed.
Yeah, I just guessed. Yeah.
She didn't have that question in high school. It never came up in biology, science, nothing.
That was not on the ACT. Hey, what's your ACT? What's your question for us, Linda?
Well, about piranha. Mm. Where are they mostly? What river are they mostly in?
Ooh.
And do they really bite people, eat people? You know, I don't want to say that.
No, you're right. They're in the Amazon River, and yes, they are meat eaters. And
so nobody goes swimming in the Amazon.
They do. You can go swimming once. Yeah, you can go swimming once in the Amazon River,
and you'll never
forget
it.
Well, I've read that they really don't bite people. Mm.
They cut you.
Yeah. What do they do?
They
just feed them dead things. Not
live.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
I wouldn't want to find out, though. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to be an experiment.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Swimming around there in the Amazon. But so they do or don't?
So they are in the Amazon.
River. That's right.
Amazon River.
Yeah, and they got teeth. You ought to look up the picture just to see those razor-sharp teeth. It looks like you're looking at a bluegill or a brim, and there's a mouthful of razor teeth.
Some things just aren't what they seem, are they?
No.
Little innocent little fish.
Bobber goes under. Hey, you say, I got one.
I got one.
You know,
one.
And you pull it up, and then you just...
Your line's broke. Takes your reel out. Uh-huh. Take
That's
your
rough.
Toes off.
That is rough.
Easy.
It's not
thanks.
It's not any kind of brand we're familiar with.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. Have a great weekend. Thank you,
Linda. From Dyersburg, Tennessee, Linda calls in. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. That was a good QA there. Who's next, Kendra?
All right, let's go to Teresa. Teresa, tell us where you're calling from.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm calling from Owatonna, Minnesota.
Owatonna?
What a nice little Indian name.
Yes, it has to be.
Native American.
How do you pronounce it?
Yes, Owatonna.
Okay, wonderful. Is that near Montevideo, or where are you?
I'm closer to the Iowa border. That's where I kind of listen to the radio station and listen to you while I'm delivering mail.
Oh, wonderful. We love those rural
carriers.
Mail carriers. Absolutely. Yeah. How far are you from Mason City?
Probably 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
I'm 45 minutes from Minneapolis, 45 minutes from the Iowa border, and 45 minutes from Mankato, Minnesota.
Okay.
One other question, Teresa. It is Teresa, right?
Yes, it is.
Can you do anything about my mail in Memphis? Because it's a
Bermuda Triangle.
It seems to get stuck there, and I don't know
what
happens.
Not just stuck. Mail that goes to Memphis, Tennessee.
Disappears.
The piranhas. Piranhas.
Red belly.
The red belly piranhas.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway. It's never to be seen.
It's a running joke in our family. It's like it takes 3 weeks for, something to get across
the
street.
You want to say, can I drive there and get it?
Not a joke for me. I get tears in my eyes just waiting on when they say there's a check in the mail.
Yeah.
All right, Teresa, ask, answer, or both?
Well, I think I'm just going to answer.
Okay.
And I'm going to try the one with the 80s vehicle.
80s term.
Oh,
okay, Teresa's
going
to answer this question. And this wasn't a regional term. This term was used all over the country and still is used today. In fact, it's a three-syllable word. This word has been used since the 80s that we know of to mean an old, broken down, decrepit automobile. What word am I looking for, Teresa?
Well, originally I was thinking junker, but could it be old beater?
That is a good guess, but that's not the word I'm looking for.
No, I know what you're looking for.
Okay,
I've heard people say junker or beater. I've heard that over the years.
Yeah, I have heard that. Those are good guesses, but I'm looking for a three-syllable word.
That's a good hint right there.
Yeah.
A lot of them are
one-syllable
word.
So you don't have a question for us, Teresa?
Well, I have some simple ones because I'm not prepared. I've actually been trying to call in for a long time, as well as other people have. But
I like simple.
well, give us a simple one. That's okay. Sure. Go ahead.
Let's do a simple Simon one.
All right.
What president is on the Washington state flag?
Oh, you call that simple?
Yeah, come on, Teresa. Now you're making us feel bad.
She's on the Washington state flag?
On the state of Washington, like in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, that kind of state?
Correct.
Oh, it's got to be Washington.
Yeah, George Washington.
Well, if you guys didn't get that, I would have to say, oh, boy.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Yeah, that's one of those, though. You go,
it could be a trick question.
That's so obvious. You go, surely, is that what? But you said simple.
Yeah.
Said,
nicely done.
I would say you dumbed it down a lot right there for us there.
Look at Washington's influence across the country.
The whole way.
Yeah,
whole
on
way
money, on flags, and so many cities named after George.
So how long does your mail route take?
About 6 hours driving. I start at 7, usually done by 4.
Now, are you driving on the right side of the car the whole day?
Yes.
Whew.
I actually have to sit in the middle because I have short legs.
Yeah.
So I sit in the middle and reach to the right.
Wow. You're reaching both ways then, aren't you? Because you're having to reach for the mailbox, isn't it?
Wow.
You're getting a workout.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
You're like Stretch Armstrong.
Some days I feel like it,
Well, listen, we appreciate what you guys do.
Right.
And
What's the code that you live by? Can you say it? Do you have it memorized? Sleet and hail and dread of night. You say that for us
rain.
Before we go. What is it?
All of the above. All of the above.
Okay. Even, thanks,
I
Teresa.
I think they've added something to the mail at the Postal Service. I think they through say COVID, even red-bellied piranha fish
yeah.
can keep us even from delivering the
mail. Tariffs. We'll yeah. still be out there.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn Network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
That's a Rockford Files right there. My dad used to watch that. You watch it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Rockford Files, starring?
Mr. Rockford. Mr. and Ms. Rockford's boy. No, I forgot what the guy
was. James Garner.
Yes, and he was also on a couple of Westerns, yeah. real famous Westerns.
James Garner, the Rockford Files. All right, Tim, Kendra, and JJ here on American Family Radio. It's Trivia Friday. And we thank you for listening. And we've already had several calls this morning. Let's reset our questions.
Oh, that's good.
Lady and gentlemen.
Okay.
And we'll get back to the phones.
You mean that have heretofore been reset?
That's right, Jay. Thank you, JJ, for using heretofore. Because if we don't bring heretofore back, America's lost.
People in Africa are doing that in Swahili. It doesn't sound the same, obviously, but they know the importance
heretofore?
Of saying heretofore.
The word heretofore?
They say it in Swahili. And it's just it sounds musical. I think, it's just wonderful.
Beautiful.
It does. I was in Africa a couple of weeks ago, so I want to throw that in from time to time.
Yes, he was.
Okay, jumping in on some of our original questions, we have number one, how did the tradition of giving teachers apples originate? Question two, what imaginary creatures often appear in Winnie the Pooh's dreams threatening to steal his honey?
Winnie the Pooh has dreams,
Pooh.
Huh?
Yeah.
Even Pooh Bears have dreams.
Okay.
Question number three. Which Old Testament Bible author and which New Testament Bible author wrote 5 books each?
Well, that's good. Okay. I can't wait to hear the
Paul,
answer.
Paul wrote more, so you're just...
Correct. These are tied for second. Okay. Both of these authors are tied for second number of books.
Here's what I've got. Ryan Sandberg, Hall of Fame second baseman, one of baseball's best all-around players. I'm looking for his nickname. He passed away, by the way, on Monday, sadly, only 65 years old. Ryan Sandberg, what was his nickname? You diehard baseball fans will know. Tim, I'm sure you know. All right. Second question, I'm going to add a couple of new ones. Which character on SpongeBob SquarePants is always trying to steal the secret Krusty Krab recipe?
Is he also stealing Winnie the Pooh's honey?
No, I don't think
okay,
it's the same
different
one.
Character.
And then third question, another new one. What two slang names for oil are mentioned in the Beverly Hillbillies theme song?
Nice.
Now you're going to have
that
song.
You can hear
song.
It in your head already.
Yeah, that's right. What two slang names for oil are mentioned in the Beverly Hillbillies theme song?
All right, here are my three questions. Residents, I'll just say this. In what state will you find people known as youpers?
How am I just now hearing about this?
Well, then I'm not I'm not going outside. I'm not going. No, it's not Hawaii right. instead of some, you know, Eskimo tribe.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm talking about
it's Kentucky. Heard, they've been saying it behind heard. Our backs.
People who That's live right. right here in the lower 48.
Okay? Yeah. In the
they're
US
called
of
Upers.
Because I know Hoosiers and Hillbillies.
Yes.
Yankees.
Yes. Cajuns.
Never heard of. Yeah.
There's Ewans and you guys and Upers
yeah.
over there.
Yeah. Now, these people are known as Upers. Okay.
Upers.
Number two, there is a. Word that we use from the 80s, maybe it precedes that, to describe an old, broken-down automobile. Mm. It's a three-syllable word. It's not a beater. It's not a, what was the other one she said?
A
junker.
Junker.
No, it's
but
not.
But those are some good guesses.
They are good
Everybody
guesses.
Everybody uses those.
But, all right, so you got the, and JJ probably knows. He probably wrote it down, didn't he?
Oh, I drove them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. If you look at my yearbook, you'll see me with my arm out the window. In one.
In one. All right, and finally, what is the quickest way to ripen a fruit at your house? Mm-hmm. You know, you're going like, wow, I would want to.
Because they forever bring me the green bananas. I have my groceries delivered.
Yes.
I think they picked
yeah,
the greenest
right off,
ones.
They cut off the boat from Brazil the day before, didn't
they? They did. They
All right,
did.
So what is the quickest way to ripen a trick you can use to ripen a fruit at home?
Good question.
All right, let's
Good.
Go.
All right, back to our callers. Let's go to North Carolina. Kim, thanks for joining us on Trivia Friday.
Hi, how are y'all?
Doing wonderful. What part of North Carolina are you calling from?
I am from Greenville.
Awesome.
Greenville, where's that?
It is about an hour and 15, 20 minutes east of Raleigh.
So okay.
About an hour and a half from the beach, from like Morehead City and Atlantic
nice.
Beach.
But you're in the mountains, right? Or no?
Oh, no. I'm on the coast.
Oh, you're east of Raleigh. You're east of Raleigh. Okay.
Yeah,
you're,
east of
yeah,
Raleigh.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Well, listen, Kim, thanks for calling. And you want to ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Okay. Which one do you want to answer?
I want to answer your question about the old car.
All right. Here's the question that Kim's going to answer. This is a word used to describe an old, beat-up automobile. What is that word?
A jalopy?
A jalopy.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
A jalopy.
I thought that was an ice cream.
So,
jalopy?
Well,
gelato.
Jalopy.
Oh. Gelato.
Okay. All right, Kim, without looking it up, you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
If you can spell jalopy without looking it up, I'm going to send you an Ooh. AFR ball cap.
Oh,
Ooh,
nice.
That's making me sweaty just thinking about it.
I'll give you, go ahead, spell it.
Okay, this is how I spelled it. J-A-L-O-P-Y.
Yes, that's
nice.
Right.
Woo!
Oh, yeah!
Jalopy. Is jalopy, JJ, do you know, is that a real, I mean, is that
no, a swap? No, not a brand. It's just saying an old junker, an old broke-down vehicle.
Jalopy. We've all heard that.
I think it's been around before the 80s. Did you say in the 80s it got popular?
But I said it could precede the 80s.
Yeah, it was before that.
Jalopies.
Yeah, an old jalopy.
So have you ever had one of those, Kim?
Yeah, well, my dad and then my friend's dad did. We used to go riding on their property in the old jalopy.
There you go.
Here's That's a question for you. How old does a car have to be before it's considered antique? My husband and I had this argument the other day.
25 years.
25?
In order to get the discounted
I'm getting
license
close,
plate,
baby.
Get the tag.
I'm getting close to
a
antique 25-year-old
car, is it considered an antique?
I would have thought older than that.
It is. See, that I would say older than that, but to get a tag that you never have to pay premium, I think it's like
really?
A one-time price, and then you just keep it on there, and you don't have to get another one. But I'm with you. You'd
he
think
told
something.
Me 20
like
years.
Handicap,
I got that
something
too
40
like a handicap
or 50.
Tag
yeah.
That you put
right
your window
your sticker.
There. But anyway, Ann, way to go.
Nicely done.
She knew jalopy, and she knew how to spell it.
Impressive.
Hey, Kim, our family went from Mississippi to Maine on a epic trip. And I think your town was the very first one we stopped in. And we were so surprised at how we were supposed to go a little farther, but I called an audible and we stopped there. And it was so clean and it was just everybody seemed so friendly. We were very, very impressed.
What
if,
town?
If that's the right one.
Did you Well, I'm from Greenville, North Carolina. Did you stop in Greenville, South Carolina?
We stayed in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah,
forget everything I said
she
about
said,
you,
it is
Tim.
Not clean. Don't come here. We got trash piled up.
Yeah.
We got jalopies everywhere. Jalopies does sound like a good food, too.
It sounds like an ice cream to me, like gelato.
Yeah. Just stop and get a jalopy.
Yeah, I'll take one.
Yeah, on the
way home.
I'll
take two.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see I wasn't in charge of the map, Kim. I just went to be the bodyguard, the banker, and the driver. Everybody else did the planning. Hey, what's your question for us?
All right. Would you rather have a college baseball question or a question about amusement parks?
Baseball question, so Tim Wildman can take one from
I'll
the team.
I'll try my best. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. What college baseball team has had the most postseason appearances without making it to Omaha?
Without making it to Omaha?
Yes.
So they weren't the bride. They were the bridesmaid over and over again.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Without making it to Omaha. Is this a North Carolina team?
I'm not going to say.
That tells you yes right
guess.
There.
You know, so that's on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 that's, being the hardest, that's like a 10 right there. And that's a college baseball is, you know, as well known as professional baseball. If you're not going to say, I'm going to say East Carolina.
It's from North Carolina.
What?
It is a team in North Carolina.
Okay, I know NC State's made it. I know UNC's made it. I don't know about Duke, but I'm going to say East Carolina.
Yes, it
what?
Is East Carolina.
Nice.
You see why I said let's take that question?
Unfortunately so.
Yeah, the Pirates. Why, are they near you? Is that where the school near you?
Yes, they're in Greenville.
How many times, Kim? Because that's sad for the fans to get so excited
like
year after
like
year.
Like the Cubs fans.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It's been a lot, though.
Yeah.
And we've been so close a couple of times. Like one time we were like 90 feet away, and then another time the Supers were here in Greenville, and it was like the last game, and people were on their phones trying to make reservations because we were so many runs ahead, but then we didn't make it.
But you know, there's a reason why everything happens in life.
Kim, but one day we will.
Yeah, so one, well, you don't know that, you know? sometimes life doesn't go the
you
way
see
we
see why he
to
got
go.
Fired as a motivational speaker? Hey, now, Kim, here, I've got a little bit of unsolicited advice. You guys. Mm-hmm. Get together with the Cubs and start a support group. Now, it's going to have to be more than a 12-step. I would say 14, 15 steps. But you guys get with Cubs fans and just cry on each other's shoulder and talk about and share your feelings, be open and honest. I think it would be good to combine the two of you.
Yeah. Thank you, Kim. Appreciate it. Thanks, Kim, calling from North Carolina. Who's next?
Let's go to Chris in Texas. Chris, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Chris,
hello,
you there?
Morning.
Welcome to the show. How long have you been listening to AFR?
Mm-hmm. 16 years.
16 years.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do you live?
Good morning, professors.
Good morning, Brother Chris. Where do you live?
Living near Houston, Texas, just north of it, a small city called Spring.
Okay, near Conroe and that area?
Between Houston and Conroe.
I got you. Well, listen, thanks for calling, Chris, and appreciate you listening to AFR for so long, man. That's a long time, 16 years. You want to ask, answer, or both here on Trivia Friday?
Just answer, please.
Okay, which one?
The Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
Here we go.
Classic
Winnie the
literature
Pooh.
From children's.
Winnie the Pooh. Why do I want to sing that theme song?
Because
it's catchy, isn't it?
It's in your soul.
It just
resonates in your soul. Which imaginary creatures often appear in Winnie the Pooh's dreams, threatening to steal his honey?
The Heffalumps and Woozles.
You got it.
Wow.
Heffalumps and Woozles.
Are these like hobbits? What are these?
They're elephant and weasel-like. One's like an elephant.
Who dreams this stuff up?
Winnie the Pooh, apparently.
Winnie the Pooh.
But I think Tigger threatens him.
You know, Winnie the Pooh used to also have nightmares about going out with no pants on. And, you know, but he realized that would never happen to him. Right, am I right?
Like having to go up in front of the class and realize, oh, no.
In your underwear?
Hey, since we, you know, you try to spiritualize everything, so what do John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have in common? Mm-hmm. What do John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have in common? They both like honey, and they both have the same middle name.
The. I got you. Well, who's Chris? Chris, well, ready to go. So you must have been a Winnie the Pooh fan then, obviously.
Or have a toddler.
I did grow up watching it, and then also have little kids.
There you go.
Nice.
Hey, yeah. What's your question for us?
I don't think he has one.
I couldn't think of a question at the time.
Okay. No, well, he got the double answer. Heffalumps and Woozles.
There you go.
Not to dwell on this. Heffalum?
Heffalumps and Woozles.
Okay, what do they look like?
Well, the Heffalump looks elephant-like. The Woozle looks somewhat weasel-like.
Yeah.
And as the song goes...
Oh, there's a song to it?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
If it's something you covet, you'll find that they love it because they want to take the thing you prize.
Yeah.
So whatever you want, they're after it.
Yeah.
Beware. Beware.
So what's the moral of that story?
Beware. Sleep with your little pop gun like Winnie the Pooh, I guess.
The arm.
He does. He keeps his.
Whatever combination of pizza they were eating before they went to bed.
Right. Don't eat too much honey before bed.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Brother Chris. Chris calling in there is from Texas. Well, I know that we got the, the Willy Wonka. He had a bunch of
Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, they ran around.
And if you can spell that.
You know, the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah. Oompa Loompas, Heffalump and the Woozle.
Were they related?
And
to this.
What was your word
one
again?
One was addicted to chocolate. The other one was addicted to honey.
The Oompa Loompas, they were the chocolate people.
Yes.
Right?
And then they helped make the candy at Willy Wonka's factory.
Okay. And then the what was it?
Heffalumps and Woozles.
Heffalumps. Okay. Anyway, I know. What about Snipes? Got any Snipes in there?
I've chased a few.
Yeah. You've gone on. You had a better chance of going snipe hunting than you do heffalumps.
Yeah, you might find some heffalumps out there in the woods.
My daughter's certainly trying.
All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
We've got about 50 minutes. No, we got about 40 minutes left of edumacation. We've had some questions, some good questions answered and asked. If you missed the question earlier, what's a word we've used? JJ said 60s or since the 60s.
Oh, or before. Yeah, jalopies.
To describe broken down cars that most of us have owned.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, your first car.
Is a what, JJ?
It's a jalopy.
We called ours the Jesus Mobile. I don't think that was generally
right.
You had to pray over it
every time you got
there
in
it. There was an angel pushing mine.
And to throw another one in there, this might have been 70s, 80s, Hoopty.
And that was that's more the word I was
like
thinking
if
of.
It was a big, long jalopy, you know, big.
Is a Hoopty?
Long, a Hoopty.
That's the word I was talking
about. You ever heard that?
No, I've never heard that expression.
Oh, yeah. So you have?
I've heard Hoopty.
Maybe it's a Kentucky thing.
The Hoopty.
All
right. There's the Hoopties and the Blowfish. You know, they were popular back in the 80s. You remember them?
Right.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
Okay,
Kendra.
Let's go to Francis in Kansas. Tell us, where in Kansas are you calling from?
Hello, I'm calling from Manhattan.
Oh,
Manhattan.
Yes. Yes, I've been there twice.
I don't know
why. Casey James Jasper in studio with us. She came with me on one of those trips.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, Manhattan, the Little Apples.
Okay.
Where their KSU is, right?
Yes, sir.
Kansas State. I've been there, too.
Yeah.
I went there in January one year. This is 25 years ago to speak to a Christian businessman. They had their meeting
there at
K-State. And flew into Kansas City and drove on I-70, I think it is. So anyway.
We had our meeting at K-State. Casey James actually sang, so she can say she has sang.
I did, too.
Did you?
Yeah, I sang for them. They cut me off like mid-song.
Man.
Yeah, they said, we didn't bring you here for this.
Right.
You were probably intimidating to the others.
Well, it was hurtful.
That's all right.
Because I thought I was doing a good job.
Envy is a terrible thing.
It is.
Well, the pregnancy center is right across the street from the campus, which is strategically located.
Wow. Wow. Well, Frances, tell us, were you wanting to ask, answer, or do both?
Please, may I do both, please?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Which question were you wanting to tackle?
Okay, Ms. Kendra, since you're asking, I would like to ask yours. The question with regards to the apple.
I was going to say, your state, you certainly know about apples. So how did the tradition of giving teachers apples originate?
Well, it was linked to the times when teachers were poorly paid and families offered apples as a form of payment of appreciation.
That is correct.
All right. Way to go. Job.
Boy, I'm glad I didn't blurt out my William Tell connection. That was going to go south.
I think they still think they're underpaid.
the situation hasn't changed.
They're probably right.
And with the price of groceries, they'd probably appreciate the apples nowadays.
Right. I don't know.
So it started in Denmark and then came to the U.S.
Really?
And it was generally accepted that the room and board was covered by the communities that had the teachers. But it came to the U.S. And then it wasn't until someone wrote a song about if you're bad at arithmetic, then...
But did they think that
the
like,
give it to your teacher?
If you bring an apple to the teacher, that's supposed to make her feel better.
It's supposed to be
not having any health insurance.
I think so.
Okay.
Sorry, you don't have any clothes, but here's an apple. Hope there's no worms in it.
Apple day keeps the doctor away.
It keeps the doctor away, and it gives you a better chance of getting an A.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it came to have the connotation of you're trying to bribe the teacher.
Right.
Later, but originally it was. Just a show
nothing
of respect.
Nothing wrong with that.
My grandmother said the doctor, the old traveling doctor that made house calls, teacher, everybody, they paid them with chickens and eggs, and because everything, the depression and all around that time, they were, you get what you get, and they were glad to do it, and they had such a servant's heart. They were going to come and, deliver a baby or help somebody or come to the little community.
So you go deliver a baby and they hand you a chicken.
Yeah. Look, my husband goes to our farmer's market and he carves spoons and I expect him to come home with money, but he usually comes home with peaches and sourdough. They do all kinds of trades.
Barter.
I was kidding around. There was a lot of bartering that's been going on for ages.
For sure.
Early American.
Yeah.
Early America. Yeah.
Francis, how did you know that? Did you do your research beforehand?
I teach myself, and I did some research.
Nice.
I love history.
Nice.
Oh, wonderful. Amen.
Thank you, Francis.
Did you have a question for us?
I do. It's Bible related.
Wonderful. Right. We like that book around here.
Is there a female Noah in the Bible?
Is there a female Noah? Do you mean was Noah married, or was there another?
Like the name? No, like the name.
Huh.
Oh, I see.
What do you mean like that? I don't understand.
Is there another
question.
Noah in the Bible
Noah,
who was a woman?
But it's a woman. They have those big, long genealogies with all the different tribes and everything. Mm-hmm. We're stumped. What's
you mean like a Pat?
Yeah. Yes, or Chris.
For example, yes, you have Noah and the Ark, but there's also a female Noah listed in the Bible.
Wow. Really? Tell us where.
Numbers 27, Zelophehad has daughters.
Whose daughters?
Zelophehad.
I heard Oompa Loompas when I heard. Oompa Loompas' daughters is Noah.
That's good, Francis. Thank you.
Wow.
And have a great weekend.
So in all seriousness, she's saying that's a good.
Yeah,
that's a deep
somebody's daughter's one's named Noah.
Named Noah.
And if you love the name Noah, apparently you can name your daughter Noah now, and it'd be
apple. Yeah, I've never heard of a girl named Noah though. Have y'all?
I have not. I've heard Nora.
All right, we got time for one more question before our top of the hour break, Kendra.
Okay, Tony from Florida, welcome to Trivia Friday. We got you in just in time.
Hello.
How long have you been listening to AFR?
Well, only about a year. My new wife turned me on to you guys and then the station, and I never turn it off now.
Oh,
well, welcome
wonderful.
To the family.
Howdy. Ask, answer,
Thank
or do both,
so
Gary.
Tony.
Both.
All right.
Both.
Which one you want to answer?
Ryan Sandberg question.
Here's the question. Ryan Sandberg, Hall of Fame, second baseman, one of baseball's best all-around players, sadly passed away on Monday. What was Ryan Sandberg's nickname?
Yeah, I was sorry to hear about his passing, and I would say his nickname is Rhino.
Yeah, Rhino. That's right, Tony.
Rhino.
How'd you know that?
Well, I'm a baseball fan, and so So I just figured that I heard that somewhere down the road. Before,
hey,
so.
Good job.
Tony and Tim already knows this. The 84th season, the Cubs fans still call this the Sandberg game. When he homered twice, drove in 7 runs, 7 out of the 12 to win the game, 12-11 against St. Louis. And the 40 years later, Chicago paid tribute to Sandberg. And that game, they put a statue of him there outside of Wrigley Field. That happened in 1984, 2024. They put a statue, but they just said as a manager, as a coach, and I've got all his stats here, but he's pretty remarkable.
I saw some statues of him at the zoo the other day.
Did you?
Big old rhino right there in front of the...
Two different rhinos. We talk after the
but
show.
But, yeah, he's going to be missed. Played with the Phillies for a little bit, but the Cubs, that's when he really... made his mark, 19 homers, 84 RBIs, 32 steals, 19 triples, 114 runs scored, and Hall of Famer. But
wow.
Yeah, they called him Rhino. I guess he's kind of like, who was Iron Man in the game?
Cal Ripken Jr.
They talk about him in this thing I read about. He's almost like Carl Ripken Jr.
Cal.
It's Cal with his work ethic and, you know, how he just gave 100% for every game.
That's awesome. Yeah, he was an awesome player.
So, Tony, can you hold on through the break to get to your question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Tony calling from – where you live in Florida, by the way?
Jacksonville right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember watching Rhino play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you see that game that he beat against you?
I remember it because I was
Cardinals
fan.
I know. It
was painful to watch.
Right.
But
12-11,
everybody loved – Ryan Sandberg, he was just Cal Ripken Jr. He was like everybody's All-American, so to speak. We'll be back after this short timeout. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.